Let's pray. Jesus, you are the friend of sinners. God, in your goodness, you teach sinners your ways. Jesus, I pray that you would show us how to be friends with you today. Help us to know you as our friend. God, help us to follow in your ways and befriend others. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, let's start us off with a quote that has got a lot. It's a challenging thing. So, this is a quote from Henry Nouwen in his book we've been reading through, Letters to Mark About Jesus. He's talking about new life in Jesus. He says, rebirth is what you are called to, like a whole new life. A radical liberation that sets you free from the power of death and empowers you to love fearlessly. You see, people that don't know Jesus, they can have some sort of love, right? They can love up to some point. They can be good to somebody that's been good to them. They can even sacrifice for a certain type of person. But there's some sort of limits, right? To how far that love can go. And the truth is, the limits come because the fear comes in at some point, right? C.S. Lewis talks about Pilate was merciful to a point, right? Like the guy that sentenced Jesus to the cross, he wanted to be merciful until it got too dangerous for him. And then he put Jesus on a cross, right? Lots of people will love up to a certain point on their own steam, but it falls short when it really counts. There's other people, as they go through life, some sort of moment where they're weak, somebody else hurts them. And that teaches them, whether it's, I mean, it's not right, but what that teaches them is the way you be strong, the way you don't have to act afraid, is that you don't love anybody. And so there's this certain toughness of people say, like, I can't love fearlessly, so I'll just not love, and maybe then I can be fearless. So they close off to really giving their heart to anybody or feeling because they don't want to get hurt. They're afraid. They might act super, super tough, but the engine that's powering all that toughness is fear. Loving fearlessly, that's something normal people don't do on their own. They can't really give themselves away and not be afraid. But Henry Nouwen says Jesus has called us to a whole new life where we can love fearlessly. And when you see that, when you think about how would I treat the people in my own household right now, whether it's Maple Street House, whether you're living in a house with your wife and kids, how do you treat the people you live with? How do you treat the people you work with? How do you treat the people who vote differently than you or who are rude to you or who can't speak English or whatever it might be, right? Like, where does your fear catch up and overpower your love? So when I really look at that, I start to feel like I don't know that I can really do that well. And if I'm really looking at loving fearlessly, it reminds me of a time where I was afraid that I wasn't good enough to do the job right in front of me. I'm going to show you a picture of a couple friends of mine, and this was a long time ago. I was probably 20 when this picture was taken. I was living down in Mexico. This is Josh next to me and Matt to my on the right side of the picture, I guess my left. Those were a couple guys. I was living in Mexico, and we started building houses for folks down there, little tiny 12-foot by 16.5-foot little rooms for families to live in that were living in shacks. And I didn't know anything. When I first got down there, I didn't know what rebar was, and we were going to be building with concrete. So there you go. Like, I needed a lot of help, right? But Josh had done this before. Matt had worked as a mechanic and just knew a lot in general, and they taught me how to build the houses. And Kurt, some other guys down there, Dustin, there were other people around that knew how to do stuff better than me. So I would be leading a group of teenagers from America that would come help. And the teenagers didn't know anything either about construction. But for the first couple summers I was down in Mexico, I could ask Josh or Matt. We go to this next picture. Here's Matt and I doing one of these foundations. And like, I got this little Darby and string line. I'm trying to get the foundation level. But when Matt's right there next to you with the float, like, just things don't go too bad, right? The first time I had to lead a foundation by myself was a couple weeks after this, maybe a month after this, just a few houses up the street, and it was a mess. It was so bad that somebody else that was working there that summer rode their little bicycle and went and got Kurt, this other guy, to like fix it, right? And Kurt, I mean, it's like the foundation pour was over there where Brian's at. And Kurt was standing not even on level ground with us and was like, well, it's super high over there and it's low over here. Like, he's able to tell the level that I had all messed up and like fix the pour, right? And there's this overwhelming feeling when you have a job that you can't handle. Have you guys ever been there before? Like, it's your responsibility, but you know, like, I don't have the stuff to get it done right. Here's what I'll tell you about my third summer down there in Mexico. When I'd been there for 3 years, suddenly Josh and Matt and Dustin and Kurt, they weren't around anymore. And I knew a lot more by that point. You know, I'd helped with 20 houses or so. I never got to the point where I could read level like Kurt could or a lot of these other people, right? Like, I just didn't have the talent for this sort of stuff. And I remember the feeling of having a group of 16-year-olds and me and feeling like I know better than everybody else around, and I know that Josh would do it better than me, I know that Kurt would do it better than me, or you know all these guys that could do it better than me, but I'm the only one here. So what are we gonna do, right? And if you will really look at the type of love that Jesus wants you to have for the people around you, you might start to feel some overwhelm about, like, I don't know how I can do this on my own. You can't do it on your own, Derek's right. So we're gonna talk a little bit about friendship today, and because I really believe as a church and as individuals in this room and watching on Facebook, you don't have the friendship with Jesus that you could have. And as a whole church, I mean, there's exceptions, but as a whole church, like, we don't have the friendships with each other that Christ wants us to have. And so I'm going to take you through some stuff on it. And first, some more Henry Nouwen about friendship. So here's another quote from Henry. He says, a real friend isn't someone who can solve all your problems, who has an answer to every question. Go to this next slide. No, a real friend is someone who doesn't walk off when there are no solutions or answers, but sticks by you and remains faithful to you. Pause for a second. I wanted Matt or Kurt or somebody else to come fix the stuff I couldn't fix. And when I wound up in Mexico without those guys around me, I really just wanted God to send me somebody to do stuff to fix my problems, right? Isn't what God sent me. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's go to this next quote, though, real fast. It often turns out that the one who gives us the most comfort is not the person who says, do this, say that, go there. We've had people like that in our life. Sometimes we need them, a coach, a dad, a sponsor. They have a role, right? But the one who, even if there's no good advice to give, says, whatever happens, I'm your friend. You can count on me. Sometimes we get ourselves into problems where there is a clear solution, right? And your sponsor or somebody else is great for that. But as you go through life, you're going to run into some stuff that's like, we can sit here next to this hospital bed and, like, doesn't matter who in the world you bring into the room, they aren't going to have, like, a super answer for the situation you're facing, right? And in that moment, you don't need, like, Mr. Answer Man to show up. The bigger comfort is going to be somebody who's a real friend. So I want to tell you a little story about a real friend. Because when I was down in Mexico for longer, I wound up really connected with this guy, Peluche. And we got connected because I needed help. And we had some weaknesses that kind of brought us together. And I'm going to tell you more about how that friendship happened. But first, I want to tell you a story about what a real friendship looks like. So go to one more picture here. This is a real picture I took of, like, the tires we had to deal with in Mexico. This is one of our vehicles. And down in Mexico, there are all these stray dogs all over the place. You can kind of see right there, a dog has recently been near this one. The coloring's a little dark, but it's all rusted out. Those bolts are all rusted right there. And there was this one week, we had this 15-passenger van, one of these old Fords, and it just got flat tire after flat tire after flat tire that week. And man, I was mad about it. and I remember, it was like the third or fourth flat tire it's had that week. and or I've dealt with that week at least, and this van's got one that night. And it's night, and there's a group of a bunch of people I'm supposed to be leading, but instead I'm on the side of the road. And when I'm in the United States, you know, my dad had always got me like a tire iron, like one of those four-prong things where, you know, when you weigh 155 pounds as a man, like leverage is your friend, right? Like you want as big a stuff as you could get when you have to deal with bolts, right? Because whoever put it on first is stronger than me. Like that's the thing I always know about when I'm going up to a job with a bolt on it, right? Here I am, this is a real picture from Mexico, right? That's the sort of tool I'm working with, right? This little itty bitty wrench. Like, it's like 110 in Mexico. I've been working all day. I get up at 7 and lead these little high schoolers through stuff, then teach them how to build a house, then do Bible studies with them at night. It's just me and my buddy Pulucci out there on the side of the road. And I'm trying and trying and trying to get that thing to go, and I can't get it. And there's different points in my life where when I get super mad, I would cuss or do terrible, stupid stuff. I was at the spot of life where I wasn't cussing, but this is what I did to that tire. Ah! Like, I did that, but like longer. And it's like middle of the night on a dusty road in Mexico. Like, and just like you guys are laughing, Pulucci, my buddy, is sitting. I can still see him sitting over here. He's sitting here on the side watching me work. And he just starts laughing at me. Super long, loud laugh, right? And here's the thing. Most people would laugh at somebody that does that, right? But because Pulucci and I were really close friends, it knocked the rage down a lot. I didn't just get mad at him too. Most people that would have laughed at me in that moment would have just made me throw the wrench at him or something, right? But I realized how ridiculous I was, right? And I was still mad. And eventually we got the tire off. I don't even remember exactly what we did to get it off. But I wonder right now in your life, like, do you have somebody like that, that when your emotions are out of control, that they can do something that most people can't do to pull you back in? Because if you don't have a friend like that right now, like, I want you to listen up. We're going to talk a little bit about what real friendship is. How do you really get it? I believe God wants more of us to have Pulucci's in our life, right? Let me tell you a little bit more about Pulucci's. Next picture. Pulucci and I are close. This is us in the middle with like my pre-Chrissy hair. This is like a helmet. Fits around me well. And so Pulucci and I, here's the thing. We're very different personalities, different stuff we liked, very different backgrounds. Pulucci was dealing drugs as a little kid in Mexico on the streets, like had a rough life growing up. And very different people, right? Here's the thing I noticed when I was in Mexico, though. A lot of people would show up, get real excited about building a house for a family in a shack, and then they'd leave, right? Like that was kind of like, we did it, right? Like, Pulucci and I both saw that like these families, they would love the people that built them houses. And like, if you loved them, there was like this big chance to like shepherd them, to like pastor them. And I don't know that everybody needed to see it, but here's C.S. Lewis talks about real friendships. He's got this great book, The Four Loves, and he says a real friend is somebody who's shoulder to shoulder with you and they see the same truth. Like they have the same thing that lights up their heart. And so Pulucci and I were super different in our preferences, in our background, in our native language, in our education, like in all sorts of ways. And how well we could dance. I mean, like every way you can think of it, right? We were different. Except for we both cared about the same sort of person in the same sort of way. And so we started working together. And here's the thing for you to look for if you're like, I don't have the type of friendship that I want to have. Is what's God put in your heart that you really care about? What's a truth that you see that most other people, even if they're good people, they don't see it the same way you see it? And keep your radar out for who does care about the thing I care about? Who does have a heart for the people or the opportunity that I see? Because then I had to show up with Pulucci a bunch. He had to show me a bunch. We had to be flexible. We had to be available. I couldn't just be super busy and build that friendship. But the first step was like noticing, like, we care about the same thing. Let's do it together. And if you're in your life right now and you're like, man, I wish I had a deeper friend that could really pull me through the hard times of life and I could pull them through. Like, start by saying, like, God, show me who sees the same truth that I see, who has the same passion that I have. Please bless me with a friend. So we would go visit these families together. This is back before cell phones, so we're not doing selfies. We're like, Blue Jays in that one, I'm in that one, but we're visiting this family, right? We did a lot of that stuff together. I want to go back to that quote I read you a minute ago about friendship. I highlighted it, right? The real friend isn't the one who says, do this, say that, go there. The real friend is the one who says, whatever happens, I'm your friend. You can count on me. It's not wrong to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, tell me what to do. I mean, when we call Jesus our Lord, like, that's what that means. Like, Jesus, you're my boss. Some of us never move past that one-dimensional relationship with Jesus, though. When we show up, we're like, man, I just want Jesus to tell me to do this. I just want Jesus to tell me to say that. I just want Jesus to tell me to go there. Like, that's not a bad place. You should have those conversations with Jesus. God wants to be your father. It's okay for a father to talk to their son in a pretty direct way. You should act this way. You should do this. You shouldn't do that. Jesus wants more than just that with you. Jesus wants to be in your life and say, you're going through something really terrible. It's not the time for the answers. I want to be in this hospital room with you. Well, I want to be in this broken, fragile thing with you. Right? Jesus wants to be, whatever happens, I'm your friend. You can count on me. And some of us aren't even looking for friendship with Jesus, right? We're looking for someone to show up and fix our problems and then back off, right? Like a parole officer or something. Like, I mean, we're looking for somebody like, could you just put a patch on my arm and make sure I do right for a year, right? And then just get out of my life, right? Like, that's not how Jesus wants to show up in your life. Okay? So we got lots to go over, a little bit of time. Let's hit this next quote though, real fast before we get to it. It says, the great secret in life is that suffering, which often seems so unbearable, can become through compassion a source of new life and new hope. A lot of times we want to just jump over the problems. But Henry Nouwen says, kind of between those two quotes, he says, those types of friendships, as you get older, you realize that having a real friend is where joy and happiness is really found at. And then he says, the great secret is, like, you don't just run away from suffering. It's that those real friendships get you through to new life and new hope. When I was in Mexico, I got real lonely, right? And when I got so lonely and so at pained that it opened me up to like a different sort of partnership with Peluche. And when I go to this next slide, Peluche and I wound up, this is Maria Guadalupe in the white and Alfredo in the yellow and Juan, Pablo, and Alfredito, like their kids. Like, we went over to their house and we were just friends with them. We'd built this little blue house for them. You guys, if you've been coming for a while, I've told this story before, but it's this miracle God did of, like, my buddy Nathan, you know, had leukemia. He wound up dying of leukemia. It was real fresh around this season. And I was pretty hurt about God not doing miracles when we pray for miracles, right? Like, that was my heart condition in this season of life. We were over at a house with Maria Guadalupe praying. And I can tell you, Peluche cared about Jesus. He cared about families. But if we hadn't been friends, he wouldn't have felt confident enough to go over there and start praying with his family. But as we're praying, Maria Guadalupe tells us, like, the doctors told me, like, she's pregnant. The doctor told me, like, my baby's dead, and I just need to take this medication to, like, basically, like, get the baby, like, to abort, like, get the baby's remains to get out. She's, like, in tears. So picture yourself, like, you're sitting in this little house that you built, and there's this big family in it, and you got this woman in tears. She's just been told that by a doctor, right? I'm taking a breath thinking, like, what am I going to say next? My buddy Peluche says, if you have faith, Jesus is going to heal your baby. Imagine being me and your buddy says that. I mean, I felt like, oh, no. Like, why did you say that, right? Because I'm thinking of my buddy Nathan that's living in Springfield that's in leukemia. And Peluche and I were close enough friends that I just didn't say anything. That was as much trust as I could give, right? Didn't say anything until we got out on the road, that little dusty road. We got on the road, I was like, Peluche, you cannot say stuff like that to people. And I told him about Nathan, right? Peluche shut me right up, right? Here's what Peluche said. He said, I said that because God told me to say that. So, like, that got me to shut up. To be honest, here's honest Jake. Shut up, but I was also like, well, we're going to find out if I can trust you or not. Like, if this baby doesn't make it, like, you're never doing that again around me. You're like, because you'll really tear people up, right? So I was going to find out, like, how much power does Peluche have? Like, can I trust him when he says something like that? Well, what I want to tell you is, like, little Amber, that's the name. She's, man, she is like a 12-year-old now or something. But last time I saw her, she was about 6. But little Amber was born healthy, right? And that was Marie Guadalupe's baby. Like, it all came to pass, right? She prayed, made this huge impact on the family and their faith. I also want to tell you something, like, man, people sometimes read the Gospels and they're like, well, miracles, miracles. Why doesn't Jesus do more miracles? He does do miracles around us, but I also want to say, like, Jesus doing miracles isn't what gets people to live right. Like, this is people's business, but they live 20 hours away, so I'm just going to go ahead and tell you guys, right? I don't think you guys know Alfredo Marie Guadalupe, right? Alfredo is probably still struggling with drinking, right? Like, he was struggling with it at the time. His daughter getting miraculously healed meant he was a little more motivated to go to church. Doesn't mean he just got over alcohol, right? Marie Guadalupe, like, had been really hurt by church. Had some family that was real involved in church, but kind of judgmental. She went for a little while, right? Like, you get a miraculous healing of your baby, like, that motivates, right? But not for a lot of years, right? Like, here's the deal. Like, Jesus can do a miracle in your life, and you can still kind of flake out on really following him, you know? But I also know, like, Peluche and I got to see God work in a way that he would have never worked through Peluche all by himself, because Peluche wouldn't have gotten himself into that room. But he also wouldn't have been able to do it through just me because of my own hang-ups and lack of faith. So Jesus is going to show up in special ways when we're friends with people and we're on a mission for Jesus together. And the miracles, I think, sometimes are going to bear this amazing fruit. And like Marie Guadalupe and Alfredo's story and Amber's story, like, it's not over. They still have that testimony. They're still connected with Peluche. But, like, miracles don't just, like, flash in and, like, set everything right forever. Like, we still have to live it out with Jesus day in and day out, right? Okay, we got to get to our scripture. John 15, Jesus is going to talk to us. John 15, starting in verse 12. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's going to talk to us about what Jesus wants his relationship to be with these guys who've been following him for a few years. So our relationship starts with Jesus when we say, Jesus, I believe who you are. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. Then Jesus keeps moving us. And as we mature in him, he's going to get us to a spot where, in verse 12, he talks to us about where does he want us to go. He tells his disciples, my command is this, love each other as I have what? As I have loved you. As you get to know Jesus better, start asking Jesus, like, am I treating other people the way that you treat me? And man, you might start feeling really, really guilty, but don't let the list get huge. Jesus doesn't, in my experience with Jesus, like, he doesn't give me long lists, right? He typically is like, Jake, you did this wrong. Do this to apologize. Or this person is hurting. Go help them. It's normally like a one thing. So ask Jesus, like, if I'm not loving somebody the way you love me, what do you want me to do next? And do the next thing. But pay attention to how Jesus loves you. Like, Jesus will teach you how to love somebody else. And you'll start to realize, like, even your kids that you love, like, you have a hard time loving them to the extent that Jesus loves you. Much less, like, the person that's mean, you know, over there on Winter Road to you or whatever. Like, real quick, you start to realize, like, I'm overwhelmed. I need help in this, right? Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is a famous verse. We all have this understanding. Jesus died on a cross for us. If this could really be fully in your heart, I don't know that there's anything that I or somebody else can add to it. But if you've been in church for a minute, it's easy to hear this and not let it really sink in. So I'm going to let Henry now and speak kind of to Jesus' love here. We're going to pause for a second. He says, we humans remain too self-centered to be able to forget ourselves fully for the other person's sake. Even if you have an amazing spouse, even if you have an amazing parent, even if you have an amazing adult child or best friend or cellmate or whatever it is, right? Like, nobody fully lets go of their own selfishness and can fully get into your pain and just be worried about your stuff. Like, people don't, they still got their own needs. Like, they can love you really well, but, like, they can't come in and just be like, it's all about you right now, and not just for a second, but, like, in a real way. Here's what Henry Nouwen says as he's describing Jesus, very similar to this verse. He says, but Jesus does give himself fully. Jesus holds nothing back for himself. He wants to be with us in such a total fashion that we can never again feel alone. If you're lonely right now, one of the lies that is tempting you is that you're unwanted. And the truth is, Jesus wants you. And no matter where you are, whether sin or the federal government or whatever has put you away, right? Like, you can't get so far away that Jesus' love can't come get to you. But you have to open the door, right? You have to open the door up. Let's go a touch further. What Jesus says, verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. Some of us right now are like, yeah, Jesus is so good. All these other people have hurt me, but I'm going to get right with Jesus. Here's what Jesus is going to push you to real fast, is that loving other people the way that he loves you. It isn't before you receive his love. Every day, we got to go and get recharged, right? Like, you guys plug in your cell phones every day. Like, you have to get connected with Jesus' love every day. But then Duran needs to take however Jesus has loved him, and he needs to show that same love to somebody else. Just do what Jesus did for you, but do it for another person, right? If Jesus has forgiven you, go forgive someone else. If Jesus gave you something good even when you didn't deserve it, find somebody to give something good to even though they don't deserve it, right? Like, just copy Jesus. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. That's quite the promise. Makes you wonder, like, shouldn't you be asking Jesus more, listening more, right? Verse 16, you did not choose me. We didn't start the relationship with Jesus, but I chose you and appointed you so you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. There is so much said in verse 16. Like, you're looking for a verse to just, like, gnaw on this week, right? That's a great one. Jesus has chosen you. When he says fruit that will last, what does that mean? Most stuff that we're working on this year, it's not going to last. I heard this quote the other day, like, the only person who's going to know that you worked a bunch of overtime 10 years from now is your kids. Like, the only person that's going to really know that you are doing tons of stuff at work is your own kids, right? Like, because they're in some sort of disappointment or whatever, right? I mean, it's a good little reminder maybe for parents, but the reality is most of the stuff that we're really stressed on or really emotional about right now or getting sore about, whether it's physically or mentally, a lot of it's not going to last very long at all. Jesus says, I chose you to do something that's going to last. What's the stuff that lasts? Well, I'm going to hit us real quick because it's noon. So here's some deep thoughts that you can do. Going, what will your treasure look like then? If you're like, Jake, I like where you're going right there. I wish I had some more. I wrote this parable some years ago. It's a little short story, and it gets at this. It's called Into the Cold. There's a few copies here, a few copies there. If you really want to dig into like the stuff I'm working for, does it matter? It's going to get at like, where's your heart? Where's your treasure at? So if you want it, that's there. I want to go to this next picture, though. This is me down in Mexico around the same time as with Palucci. I'm wearing the same shirt. I didn't have a ton of clothes down there. But here's the deal. I got really into carpentry while I was there, building tables and furniture and stuff. I doubt any of that furniture is still around. And I built that table I'm working on out of pallet wood and rain and stuff. I built it just the exact height I wanted it, so it was easy for me to build on. I built it to fit like the clamps I wanted and everything. But within a year and a half, like I was giving it to my buddy Leo because I was leaving, right? Here's what lasted from that picture. I didn't become a super carpenter, but the stuff I learned right there, like I still know that stuff. And then I'll talk to you about that shirt too, like real quick. But the stuff I learned, I still have with me. The stuff you're doing right now, the character it's forming in you, whether it's making you somebody who complains all the time or somebody who's grateful, like that is gonna stick. Think about that. Like, what sort of character is getting formed inside of you? Because you are gonna last forever, for good or for bad, right? And then the people around you, right? The people around you are gonna last forever. So when Jesus says, I wanna make fruit in you that's gonna last, he's saying, I wanna do things inside of your character, or I wanna do things in the relationships you have with other people and in their character. Because those are the only things around us that last for eternity. The only things we can see that last are the people around us, right? Random other thought about that shirt. I shouldn't even own that shirt. That's a Jackson County shirt from Blue Springs Lake Marina. The reason I own it, and I still have it, right? I slept in it the other day, is because when I was getting done with that job, I asked my manager, Bill, like, can I have one of these? And he was like, sure. And I want you to notice in that verse I read, it's real easy to rush over. Jesus said, like, let's go back to that last verse. Yeah. Ask in my name, and the Father will give it to you. I asked for God to heal my friend Nathan from leukemia, and like God said no to that. We asked him to heal Marie Guadalupe's baby, and God said yes. I can't tell you I like fully understand verse 16. What I can say is there's a power when Peluche listens to God and hears from God, and then we pray in response to that, right? But there's a power in just being bold and asking. Like some of the stuff that we don't have, it's because we've not asked God for it, right? Here's the very last picture, is to go back to this Peluche picture again. And Marie Guadalupe and all this stuff going on. Think about in your life right now. Do you want a friend like Peluche? Somebody you say like, man, I need this person's help and we're doing something for Jesus together. Because you can ask for it. Do you want a story where like God does a miracle through you and your friend that you could not explain really, right? You can ask for these things. Like I have that Marina shirt just because I boldly asked for it, right? Like if you don't have a close friend, why aren't you saying like, God, please give me a friend. I'm not enough on my own. And then if you got a friend like that, say, Jesus, please do something through us together that we could never do on our own. Okay, I want to close this in prayer. Jesus, thank you for the many promises you give us, even just in John 15, but all throughout the Bible. Jesus, I pray over each person in this pews right now. I pray for each person watching online that you would fulfill your promises to us. Help us to stand on them. Jesus, please be our friend. It's in your name we pray. Amen.